Welcome to the Dead Harvey Podcast. This is Brad Paulson. Today I have a very special guest, Aaron Burke, my old friend Aaron Burke. We made a bunch of movies together back in the day, chased the Hollywood dream, had some great times. So now Aaron first got me involved in watching and listening to conspiracy theories. And I believe that you were the first person to introduce me to that, Aaron. So we go back a long ways, and I thought it would be great to bring Aaron on today because our theme for the day is conspiracy combo. So we got two conspiracy combo movies to talk about, The Conspiracy and Banshee Chapter. We'll start out with The Conspiracy. Now, Aaron, what did you think of this movie? How true did it ring to you as far as like conspiracy theory movies that you followed or conspiracy theories? And how authentic did it feel to you as a film from somebody making it from their perspective?
Sure. Hey, Brad, thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Brad and I, old buddies, go way back. We've lived in several shitty apartments together and trailers.
Yes.
So, yeah, we go back quite a ways. And as I said, helped each other out on some movies. I believe I was your first, I was the first person to ever decapitate you in a movie.
Yes, that's true. Yes. your student movie, The Hireling. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you got funding from the school for that as well, too.
Good. Yeah. It only appears to me. But
you can get a lot of leverage out of Halloween Town props, I'm telling you. Spirit store, Halloween store, all year round. Get it when they're open and stock up for all year round for your low budget horror props.
Yeah, it's entering our time of year. But yeah, cut his head off and then the head knocked over a six pack of beer set up like bowling pins. So yeah, it was quite a scene.
Yes.
Conspiracy. Pretty accurate, actually. So I, was watching it and sitting down. I love the poster and the idea of using the bowl, which obviously has a lot of conspiratorial like angles to it. But in watching it, very accurate. Obviously the filmmakers knew really what they were kind of going for. The whole, like the World War II conspiracy stuff with Prescott Bush, Ford Motor Company, the Coca-Cola and Fanta, and like basically funding Hitler. There's that whole rabbit hole. And that was the thing, when you watch it, there's like so many of these rabbit holes to go down. Each one of them, you're actually playing along or scoring at home, or even if you're alone, all of the little things, you can literally take one of their topics and Google it, and then off you go.
It will launch you off. If you haven't heard of this stuff before, it'll launch you off into a major rabbit hole, just like kind of like before when you started telling me about, and you were talking about Epstein Island years back, like 20 years ago. You were talking about Epstein Island, but just to not go off track here, this movie is about two filmmakers who use their real names, which is funny in the movie. So they do kind of like the fake documentary, like found footage style thing. These two filmmakers that are basically, they're following this guy who was mocked online, and he's a conspiracy theorist named Terrence, and he's tying all these points throughout history where there have been famous conspiracy theories to a larger picture, this group called the Taurus Company, something along those lines, where they use, like, they worship this bull, or they follow this bull called Mithras. And is that like, that's a deity, right? That bull?
So Mithras worship is in its, yes, there is a bull to it, but like where they got their like nod was clearly, Bohemian Grove.
Right. Yeah. The event was definitely Bohemian Grove. Yeah.
And the large owl named Moloch, and it's Moloch worship, which is like, Canaanite, Assyrian, all the stuff in Evil Dead, those ancient Mesopotamian religions, where that one, they would like literally build this large bonfire. Now, from the Christian perspective, and who knows how much, demonization happened there, but they would they would pitch children into this like large bonfire. And so the bonfire that you had at Bohemian Grove was that basically representing what that used to be. And so they kind of took, is it like a spoiler alert? But basically it was like a bit of a chapter out of what Alex Jones had done.
Yeah. And it felt like in this movie, that they, yeah. So basically, like the things that they're following in, that this conspiracy theorist guy, who they have this video on and they're watching, and it's all of these famous like YouTube videos, people commenting on it, mocking him. But then a lot of people are agreeing with him. They're like, no, this guy is right. So the filmmakers start to look up these points in history. They trace it to, and they even mentioned the Bilderberg group, which is what Bohemian Grove was based around. And the famous story is that Alex Jones infiltrated Bohemian Grove and sort of brought attention to it. And so it felt like to me that the guys who made this movie were inspired by, or the guy who made this movie was inspired by Alex Jones exposing Bohemian Grove, and like that sort of like a conspiracy theory character, if he would have stumbled across it. And so the second half of the movie is kind of like leading towards them trying to get into this Bohemian Grove type of event and become like these initiates and sort of go incognito to it and expose it.
Well, both movies are similar in that regard, where it's like you have your central character who's curious. Well, you have your mentor character, which in case both of these have that, you know, your character, your Bill Cooper character, your Hunter S. Thompson character, whatever, who were like kind of the messiah to the whole situation and are like, hey, you know, they in the conspiracy, they were a bit skeptical of this guy. And then, of course, one of the, you know, I believe his name is Aaron, gets bit. Mm-hmm. And we all had that moment. I mean, this is, you know, I wanted to say one thing about the year that this was made is 2012. So it was like
people. It was the Mayan calendar year, the end of the,
Obviously, yes, the Mayan calendar and all that. But it was like 9/11 was still 10 years old. And people were still like, not everyone had known about this yet. And by the, you know, that was like 2008, 2009, 2010, where the conspiratorial stuff really started to sink in, where you could talk to your mom and she's like, well, I know 9/11 was an inside job. You know, you're like, okay, shit.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, but, it started to really like get more mainstream, more people talking about it before,
Well, Alex Jones wasn't a famous person yet. Mm. You know, now everybody, Hillary Clinton's mentioning his name.
Oh, yeah.
It's crazy, but
he's having a trial right now as well, too. Yeah, so he's getting all kinds of, well, he's having a trial right now, too. Isn't it televised, the trial that he's on?
It's over now.
Yeah.
It wrapped up this week or last week, but but he'd become a household name with Donald Trump, Hillary, and Joe Biden, and everybody else they bring in. But at 20, but when this movie had come out at the time in 2012, that hadn't happened yet. So it's a little more cutting edge. Super accurate with how, what they were depicting and all of that, you know, like Gulf of Tonkin. Yes, that was a false flag, and false flags are, you know, used all the time to bring, you know, to, so you have a justifiable reason for invading a country, you know, and they found out that was released. And so that was covered in the first act of this movie. Then when the conspiracy guy, you know, starts to point out, hey, man, that guy's following us. You know, they're like, who, the guy at the bike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever.
Mm-hmm. Once he takes the extra look when he sees that they spot him and be like, I'm not looking at you guys. And then leave.
The extra guilty Scooby-Doo double take.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
And that launches you into act two, of course, where Aaron starts to get even, you know, starts to get bit by this. And of course you have the clue wall, and he's like drawing, you know, arrows of that. But once you got out of that first 30 minutes of the movie, it's like then it starts to get off into fantasy land, you know, or the Taurus Club, completely made up. You can just, if you know the genre, if you know the conspiratorial stuff, that's not a real thing anymore, you know, but still, following him and putting all these clues together. You know, it's interesting too, because it's like another movie that came out during this time was Zeitgeist, if you remember that.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the really popular documentary that a lot of people were watching on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. No, people were like, you know, questioning Christianity and all of this. Well, that's where, of course, if you get into the Taurus Club, that's Mithras worship. And that goes into, you know, all of this, you know, I was reminded very much of Zeitgeist, again, a movie that was huge during that time, where it's like, born of a virgin, December 25th, wise men coming to visit him. He grows up, wanders around, you know, teaching his philosophy, has 12 disciples that are with him, you know, has a passion, which is, you know, the killing of him. Then he's raised up again. They're celebrating Easter. There's a Last Supper. I was like, okay, well, there was another movie that they, I felt like they were touching on a lot of like big documentaries and, you know, hitting on a lot of things that were in the zeitgeist around that time.
Yeah, definitely. You can certainly tell the filmmaker went down the rabbit hole with it. Things that I think that worked the best, I think the most effective thing about this movie is it comes from the point of view of somebody being confused. So you can tell it's almost like kind of like what the filmmaker was thinking or the character Aaron was thinking, because you got the two characters, Aaron and Jim, when they start to follow the conspiracy theorist and they're like, oh, this guy's full of shit. And then after they start to kind of like look at some of the things he's talking about, you know, and he's talking to them and he says, are you listening? And so once they start to like look up some of these events and this guy may have something to it, then it starts to get really interesting, because it turns into like a Scully and Mulder thing from the X-Files. One's a skeptic, right. One starts to become a believer. And so, but you could tell like the guy who's a skeptic is kind of scared. He's scared of if it might become real. He wants to sort of deny it. And then the guy who's starting to believe it doesn't really believe it still yet, but he's confused and he's curious about it. So there's a feeling of curiosity in the movie that I think is really kind of can connect with most people when they hear about this kind of stuff. Obviously, some conspiracy theories are going to be complete bullshit. Others are going to end up to turn out to be true, like what happened with the Epstein situation. Wait a minute, that wasn't true. If you go into like a prison and you know you're told that you're put on like suicide watch and no one's watching you, that's plausible. And then you're given a roommate to sort of have some protection so you don't kill yourself. And then he disappears. That's also plausible. And then the guys that are recording it, something happened with the camera. And then they just like went out at that same time when he died. That's also plausible. And then the guys also fell asleep. There is nothing to question here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, it wasn't some of my favorite. Like, I wish they would have done a little bit better job with the more skeptical character. He was like, because he was so quick to be like, oh, this is bullshit. You're wrong.
But yeah,
you're right to pick up on the fact that he was like a little scared of it. Yeah. But. Mm-hmm. They should have done better jobs of like punching holes. I think that they just got a little lazy during that part. You know, the one guy was like definitely down the rabbit hole. And, and they did. So there weren't any conspiracies that were bullshit that I said. They didn't throw any like, you know, like, in a, like we talked a little.
Yeah. Bit. They didn't throw any like super obscure ones or more kind of like the Gulf of Tonkin one has been pretty heavily covered. Yeah, that one wasn't like an out of the box one. Yeah,
well, just what they do in like a Mel Gibson movie, like all version. Well, they'll just make stuff up,
right? You know, right.
We're wearing tinfoil hats. We're not really getting into it, and it's just like a writer makes up. But you can't be this creative. These things are way too deep and like penetrating to like, you know. But it was again. So there's another one that it reminded me of was, have you ever seen Freedom to Fascism?
No, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. So that's Aaron Russo, the guy that produced Trading Places.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. He did a movie called Freedom to Fascism. And that was what I would recommend to view if you've ever seen that documentary, because it literally covers Bilderberg Group. And, you know, and there's different like spheres of control. So, Bilderberg's international. Bohemian Grove is like a North American or American type of a situation where it's like people that are attending that are American elites. Bilderberg is international. Like you're not going to get Prince Philip at Bohemian Grove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's these different, you know, ideas of like puzzle pieces that'll fit together. So it's like North America. Okay, they want, you know, the end goal of all of this obviously is a one world order. So in the North American hemisphere, they're going to want Canada, United States, and Mexico to merge, a European Union to merge, an African merge, you know, and all of these different conferences and intellectual think tanks and stuff all have their own regions to like take care of. Like there was a Sun Valley conference that had the tech guys to it. That's not secret, but it's like they're all these billionaires are meeting and having, you know, Elon Musk talk to them and stuff. So it's like you can understand why people think there might be something going on.
Right. Right. Yeah. Well, you know, there's been several video clips, and they use it in this one too, where it's the New World Order, where various politicians have been on camera talking about the New World Order. So yeah, that one has been, and that's like since the 80s, they have video on that one when George Bush Senior was talking about it. Yeah.
Order.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's totally like this stuff to me is totally fascinating. Like the curiosity thing is I think what makes it really good fodder for movies is because, and it's sort of like things about, well, this is kind of ties into conspiracy theories too, but there's a whole other topic like aliens, because aliens tie into conspiracy theories. It's the curiosity and it's the mystery of it. It's almost like you're watching, like when they apply it well in a movie, it's like they make it a detective story almost, you know? And
so to button the whole freedom to fascism thing, it basically was like Aaron Russo was told by a Rockefeller, one of the Rockefellers, like the cousin or something like that, he'd become friends with in making Trading Places. He was a very prominent filmmaker and all this. And he was told, they were at like a dinner party smoking, you know, smoking cigars or whatever, and was told that there would be a huge, this was in like the 80s or 90s. It was like, there would be this huge cataclysmic event that would bring America into an unending war in the Middle East that would bring us into Afghanistan and Iraq before. And he was like, what? And so he started to go down this rabbit hole, starting with, and it all comes back to the Federal Reserve. And that brings me to another book that should be read if people are into this, is Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin, which is the book version of Freedom to Fascism in a way. But basically a secret cabal, Rockefellers, Warburgs, all the guy on the Monopoly game.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting.
Seven big banking, the seven big banking families met on this little island off of North Carolina, called Jekyll Island. And they dreamed up the Federal Reserve, which basically will print you money and charge it's a private cabal that owns it, created it, and then loans money to the government, which then we have to pay taxes for. So basically enlists private citizens into this whole, you know, lending scheme. So anyway, and this is all tied into the, the Bilderbergs and the whole bit. So,
yeah, the rabbit hole goes so deep with this kind of stuff, especially as far as like piquing your curiosity, I think this movie does a very good job of that. And like, yeah, you could spend like 16 hours watching videos on YouTube, not even tap like just like small portion of how deep this rabbit hole goes.
You know, both of these movies were kind of in a way kind of adjacent to found footage. Like The Conspiracy wasn't a found footage movie, right? It was had found footage parts in it.
It's sort of been labeled as a found footage movie, but the guy who made it, because I was reading on Wikipedia, or the guy who made it said he considers it more of like a fake documentary, as like a more of like a mockumentary, as opposed to a just simulating a real documentary, kind of serious with a serious tone, as opposed to like a found footage movie. But there's definitely a lot of found footage elements in it, because they have the cameras on them when they go into the Tarsus Club and all that stuff, that makes it be labeled as a found footage movie. But technically it's more of a fake documentary. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it works. Well, I was going to say was that it's like for the budget of this, it works well, because how else are you going to actually, if it was a real movie, you know, show the limousines pulling up and the mansion? It's easy to put a goat head over somebody's, you know, and just have little eye cutouts and be like,
right. Yeah. Yeah. Like Halloween style. Yeah. Introduce that, like utilize that POV as the little so tiny mini. Cause I think they put the cameras on like their lapels or whatnot when they go into that security store at first, but yeah, they have the hidden cameras to make that work. Now I think that like this movie is the most effective. I'll ask you what you think about this as well too. My interpretation of it is that this movie is much more effective in the first half than it is the second half. The second half feels to me like it kind of fizzles out. Now that was probably because of the, budget limitations more than anything else. And it does kind of like the way it ends, it fits with how they set up everything, but they built everything up. Like the ideas in this were built up kind of so grandiose that it just seemed like it, and so big that it just seemed like it kind of like didn't have much of a climax to it. Yeah. Do you agree with that, or do you think differently?
I think that it's what you get in this kind of a genre. I don't know if this is genre conspiracy, you know, mockumentary. I mean, certainly you could like, I would think that like this one and Banshee, obviously they're like, there's certain limitations and ways that as a writer or filmmaker, you have to kind of do it that way. And they both follow
that. Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, in the first third of the movie, you can kind of just go wild, and they did an they were amazingly accurate. They didn't BS, probably because it's just too much work to create your own conspiracy.
I think so. Probably, yeah.
Well, yeah. Conspiracy are like bullshit ones fall away. They don't have propping them up. Mm-hmm. You know, not even to get into flat Earth, but it's like there is an argument there. I'm not saying it's true or not, but it's like that thing ain't going anywhere. Like, no way is that. There's just so many crazies that are out there that believe in it. And there's so many arguments that you know, you have to have on your side. Otherwise, it would go away. Mm-hmm. So the first third of that was awesome. The conspiracies are there. If people don't know, this is a great primer to begin with. Want to go down that rabbit hole? I think the character of Aaron followed us, and we were him going through that, being a mentor. I didn't have a problem as much as you did with the last half, the last third of it. I just felt like it was expected. Yeah. Maybe that issue, and you didn't like that as much, but it's like, where else are you going to take it?
Well, you know, it fits for like how it was set up initially and like the budget constraints. And there is like some good primal stuff that works. Like the first time I saw it, I was like, oh shit, what the hell is going to happen? But it was kind of like, it does sort of leave it up a little bit more to the imagination, which is also effective. Kind of reminds me of how Blair Witch ended, but with but showing a lot more than Blair Witch did, because you never actually see the witch or anything. You just see the house at the end of that show, and then just nothing happens. I remember seeing that movie in a theater in Bozeman, Montana, and the old roommate Phil was with me, and then he goes, "What?" And then he was quiet throughout the entire movie. And then at the end, he goes, "What a ripoff!" He just yelled it out. I thought that was pretty funny. But that was like, that's like what I think. Like the average person, if they don't watch a lot of movies, they're gonna think like when they see that, they don't know like what the budget constraints the filmmaker had, or where they were coming for, or what they were going for. So that being said, like what? But no, I do think it works with the movie. You want to see them cram more into the movie, I guess, like because of all the ideas that they talked about. So I just wanted it to like build up to something larger, but it does fit. It is effective, I think.
So I think that, again, it's a victim of the times where it's like all of a little newer then. And now we've kind of seen all of this before. It's like, this reminds me a little, since you said that, with a proper ending. It's like, have you seen The Apostle?
Yes. That was the Netflix movie.
This third act, which is what you get when it's fictional.
Yeah.
God lady that's like part of the tree. And then he, you know what I mean? Like, no spoilers, but it was like, you remember that part?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, they're drinking their blood and all this stuff, but it's like, that's what you're kind of like conditioned to expect.
Right. Exactly.
It's
wild
turn. It's like, okay, they sacrifice the friend. Oh, here it is. It's the living embodiment of Mithras himself. Or it's an alien invasion that's going to start. Yeah. It's a little more punch at the end rather than like what they did was a little disingenuous. It's like, we'll do this to all our members, or to all of the prying eyes, to fool them into thinking that this is, you know, we scare them. And it's like, okay, I get what you're saying. It's a little limp at the end.
But I think definitely overall, like a really fantastic movie to check out. Like especially if like you want to kind of do a conspiracy theory movie or an indie filmmaker and you want to kind of draw some ideas for this or just get like your rabbit hole journey started. I think this kind of stuff makes just great material for movies because it is like such a mystery until we ever get a clear cut answer on any of this stuff, like the Epstein stuff. As we know now, like, you know, once Ghislaine or Ghislaine or however you pronounce her name is, when she went to prison, we stopped hearing about stuff. Remember that? We're like, is she going to make it in prison? She made it, but we don't hear anything.
Yeah. Well, there's a massive overlap. So between the movies, that you've picked for us to cover. There will be, so that just bear that in mind, is like this whole like sex trafficking, you know, international like human trafficking mafia. Those threads run through both.
Definitely. This is one of the best, like if you're looking for a cool found footage movie that's about conspiracy theory movies, this is one of the best ones that I found. And as Aaron said, like a good primer for it. The Conspiracy. Check this one out. It's on Tubi for free. I think a couple other platforms as well. So moving on to Banshee Chapter, also known as The Banshee Chapter. I don't know why movies are kind of referred to as with the or without the, but that happens sometimes. But anyways, this movie is so a whole. Now we're going to go into a whole other world of conspiracy theories. Although this one, well, part of it has been proven to be true, and it starts out very effectively with this. So the Banshee Chapter is about the MK Ultra project, and it also fuses in From Beyond element to it. So it's based off of the H.P. Lovecraft story From Beyond, about a scientist that developed this tuning fork that could tune our mind to other dimensions, to the other world, and they see creatures in other realms through it. With this one, people are able to get in touch with other creatures, dangerous creatures from other realms that want to use their bodies as like a human skin, sort of take over them, body snatcher style. And they do this with core elements of this formula broadcast from this radio signal, where you have to be at a certain place in time, which just coincidentally happens to be near where these original MK Ultra experiments were done, that turned the mind into an antenna or a receptor to see the beyond, to see into the other world. And what's waiting for us there is not very pleasant. So what did you think about this movie, Aaron?
Well, I think that you need to put a spoiler alert before all of that.
Maybe so.
So I enjoyed it. You know, I feel like these movies are almost twins in a way.
They are. Yeah. Yeah.
You start with, you know, someone making a documentary or recording themselves doing, you know, an experiment. So there's like this like recording kind of concept. Who are like the mentor character that's drawn in, that's like about to go on, who disappears, and then their friend follows them. So I think I enjoyed Banshee Chapter a little bit more. It was a little higher budget, obviously. Ted Levine was awesome. One of my favorite character actors, and really probably plays my favorite villain perhaps in all of cinema. You know, he doesn't get
puts the lotion in the basket.
It puts lotion in the basket, or it gets the hose. Yes.
Oh, it gets the hose. Put the lotion in the basket.
Yeah. But anyway, no, I enjoyed it. And again, you know, this one's also another primer for, I feel like you've kind of recapped what the movie's about. So I'll just conspiratorially, what's the lady's name? What's the lead character's name? Do you remember?
Anne Roland is the character's name that Katia Winter plays.
Reporter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically you follow Anne, who has this, like, who friend zoned her buddy that took the DMT. And now she's like, I wish I would have had sex with him. Well, you shouldn't have friend zoned him in the first place.
Yeah, really. Yeah, don't fall in love with him after he's missing or dead. I mean, that sort of defeats the point. Yeah. So I forgot to mention that. Yeah. So this starts with an investigative reporter. Yeah. Her character's name is Anne Roland. She's played by actress Katia Winter. And so it's about how she's looking for her missing friend. Her missing friend took this drug that was basically like a DMT drug, but it was made with these elements that these creatures from another realm basically give the components for it to scientists to use to create this element that turns the mind into a receptor. And so it's all of her trying to find that out. So her friend gets this drug from Friends of Colorado, it's called. And so she tracks that to this Hunter S. Thompson sort of character that hooked her up with the drug. And then him and her sort of team up to find these creatures or where this experiment is coming from. And there's some good, like, legitimately scary stuff in this movie.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
It's like Banshee Chapter, a.k.a. Jump Scare.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's cool. Like, and just like I, what is effective about it as well too, is that in both these movies that are effective this way, they start out pretty much grounded. They're like, this guy, he's kind of weird, but this is happening in the real world. And some of these events have been like, a lot of like people have corroborated. Yeah, there's some truth to this. And in this one, they flat out start showing Bill Clinton's apology about the government experimenting on people with the MK Ultra experiment. And I was like, you know what? We don't really see a lot of that happen anymore. The government doesn't come out and apologize to people about all the horrible stuff they've done to them. But yeah, on the Clinton speech, yeah, that's sort of a rarity. And so it's right there. He's like, I'm so sorry what we did, you know, that was completely unethical. And they have footage where they're talking to people that are involved with it. Now, I don't know if like the people that they have in the footage, I think some is real of some of the scientists involved in the MK Ultra experiments. Others may have been manipulated. I'm not sure, but.
Yeah. Well, number one, first of all, had she just slept with her friend, he may not have been forced to take this crazy mind altering drug.
You know, that's true. You know what? That's a very good idea. Or that's a very good point, I should say, because yeah, if she hadn't a friend zone, because yeah, they're like Netflix and chill without any of the extra chill, you know, yeah, just here, just pet me like I'm a puppy or something and nothing's going to happen. Here, do you want her a red vine? He wouldn't have sought out like other experiences and other drugs because he was using this because he was writing this book. And yeah, so he's probably using it as fodder, like for his book or to give him some inspiration. He wouldn't have needed any of that inspiration if she hadn't friend zoned him. Then he would have just become domesticated and not sought anything else out. And then his life would have been boring, but he would have been alive.
Yeah. And they, like I said,
yeah,
Banshee chapter, the friend zone.
Yeah. So, so essentially she's forgetting the most important element to the mystery is solving the mystery would have just been her unfriend zoning him.
Right.
I don't know why she regretted that years later. Now that he's not around anymore, I wish I hadn't friend zoned him.
There's like scenes where she narrative, like her personal journey, her professional one, obviously out there and solve this greater mystery. But privately, like when she's like nodding off to sleep, she's like,
yeah,
oh, if I had only, I wonder if he was a good kisser. I'm like, what? You're wondering now? We wouldn't have had such a great movie had she just went ahead and done the deed.
No curiosity at all whatsoever during those 5 years they were friends or platonic friends. Yeah,
well, this guy's missing. She goes on again a Scooby-Doo quest to go and find him up, you know, at this bar with obvious Hunter S. Thompson. Hunter S. Thompson. But was for me was like, this really is way more Bill Cooper. So Bill Cooper, another character that's kind of like the prototype Alex Jones, a few generation prior, basically, but you know, like he theorized, he had a lot of wild theories, but again, a gun wielding guy. He ended up getting killed in a shootout with police. He pulled a gun on them when they were, because he wasn't paying his taxes like a lot of these people don't.
right, yeah.
And he got in a wild shootout. He wrote a book called Behold a Pale Horse, which laid out a government and alien like team up, basically. Mm-hmm. Whole conspiracy to go down is basically that in the 50s, Eisenhower allowed people to be abducted in exchange for technology, which gave us the microchip, which gave us all kinds of technologies and all that. But that's where that character is much closer to this one. So what was known as the 1954 Grieta or Granada Treaty was basically Eisenhower had met. So UFOs landed, met with Eisenhower at Area 54. And the idea being is they were going to give him advanced technology for access to human beings, abductions, reproduction, all of that kind of stuff. And which is crazy, too, because there's another conspiracy theory that whether or not aliens are real, the United States is gaining advantage because, look, there's a canon behind the whole UFO story, you know, like. in any religion, basically aliens landed or crash landed in Roswell in the 40s. Mm-hmm. There were a couple of survivors. Those aliens taught us technology and all of this, and then, you know, met with Eisenhower and gave us access to these, you know, far-flung technologies, and allowed us to use, and they allowed the aliens to abduct human beings. But the whole point behind all of that is that it's meant, it could also just simply be like a psyop to like scare Iran, China, Russia, things like that, to go, hey, United States is partnered with aliens. Do not fuck with us. You know, we have special, because you never hear of a special relationship with any other country. It's always United States, right? Every single time. It's like, and then you have these characters that are from, like, basically sheep-dyed CIA assets that go in and infiltrate UFO communities and then plant in concepts and ideas and things that the government wants us to know about. So a good example is Bill Lazar in, you've heard of him, right?
Yeah. The famous story about, like, how he worked with, and he saw, like, how the engine was propelled, and he was with the alien craft and studying it and doing the secret experiments. Yeah, that's so totally fascinating. Yeah,
it's totally fascinating. But I've talked to people that, you know, that authors and stuff and researchers that were like, that's straight up misinformation, whether he knows it or not. So basically, like, we were talking, the author was chatting with Bill Lazar, and he's talking about being led in area 50. It's like area 52 and a half. It's not area 51. Mm-hmm. It's like next to it.
Yeah.
And gave this clearance. So they basically picked this physicist, a mediocre physicist out of nowhere. No reason he should have been hired for this job. He gets access to not area 51. It's like a annex of it. It's next to it. And while he's there, there are rooms that are left open for him to discover with like UFO blueprints. It's like, you know, the bad turn at the haunted, you know, the alien haunted house at Not Scary Farm or something, you know, literally. And they look like that. He was marched through. They like, you need to come to this area. And meanwhile, like, he's marched by a window looking in, and there's like a scientist. And then in the middle is like a gray behind a table. And he felt like they were being presented to him, even though it was like, you're being marched this way. So then, of course, this guy gets on Rogan. He gets articles, you know, the newspaper articles and stories on TV and all that.
And there was a Netflix show out that came out about him as well, too. Yeah.
George Knapp. That's how George Knapp, Coast to Coast, got the break, was the Bob Lazar story. So imagine if you're the government and you want to basically spill let people, you know, enemies of the United States think that we've got this extra technology. So there is this idea, and Bob Lazar is a good example, but one of dozens of examples of like how you let this, the government doesn't want you to know, but yet maybe they do.
Yeah. It's interesting. There's another movie that's like totally, I don't know if you've seen this or not, but it had an effect on me when I watched it. It's called Mirage Man. Have you ever seen that one?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. That looks so creepy. Basically, Mirage Man, if anybody hasn't seen it yet and you're curious about this stuff, check it out. It's really fascinating. He's basically talks about how he's seen aliens, but he finds out that there's somebody from the CIA that's pretending, because he's talking to this guy's like doing video of these like UFO sightings, but it was outside of a military base, and basically the military wanted to keep him quiet. So they sent out people from the CIA to make him think he was being visited by aliens so that everybody would think he's crazy.
Yeah.
So like messages on his computer, aliens looking through his windows, just all kinds of just crazy like stuff like that. They went to a lot of lengths to get him to shut up about the craft flying outside of the base.
That guy, I think, ended up killing himself too. So there's a dark side of it.
Yeah.
There's the guy's name. Anyway, he is infiltrated. So the main leaker in Mirage Man, and his name escapes me, but he's CIA. That's one of the guys that was doing these programs, that he had his hands all over Bob Lazar. So it's the same situation where you have this, it's all misinformation and disinformation. So think about what's far more likely. United States has hidden technologies that they don't want people to know about. Oh, we'll just call those UFOs. And then in the byproduct, you can't hide the fact that you've got an Aurora, you know, shuttle that goes up into space and comes back down and is, you know, Gen 5 aircraft. Let's just call it UFO and an alien and off we go.
Yeah.
So anyway, so basically the Thomas Blackburn character, who's the conspiracy guy that Anne hooks up with, is way more Bill Cooper, who like was one of the first guys to lay out the government's, you know, relationship with UFOs, that they control all of the Illuminati and all. That was his angle, was that it's like these are reptilians and all that stuff, or sorry, aliens. And way less Hunter S. Thompson, but I guess they figure they do Hunter S. Thompson because he's like famous.
Yeah, and even the, so in the inside of the place when she goes in to visit him and she's like, who's your interior decorator? Charles Manson. And he's like, but the interior of his place looks like video that you've seen from Hunter S. Thompson's place, like all like the weird kind of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre stuff on the wall, and like the pop culture kinds of things, and like the counterculture stuff. And even they have like a painting of him, and the books are similar to Hunter S. Thompson books. And the guy that used to draw the paintings, to do the Hunter S. Thompson paintings on the books, Ralph Steadman, they even have one that looks almost identical to that art style. So yeah, it's pretty much like, and then like the long cigarette hanging from his mouth, like the weird hats, like him shooting guns and everything all the time. And then getting arrested. And then like, instead of running for sheriff, like Hunter S. Thompson did, he ran for mayor in the movie. So yeah, a lot of direct parallels between those two.
But I, you know, as far as I know, and I've read, you know, some Hunter S. Thompson stuff and Fear and Loathing and like his just gonzo trips to Vegas and Kentucky Derby. He wasn't a conspiracy theorist. That was the odd part. I base it off of him. Like, I mean, it's kind of smart that you kind of, you get extra narrative push because Hunter S. Thompson's such an interesting character and it really worked entertainment, but like he wasn't talking about any of this stuff. Was he?
No, he was mostly just talking about like politics and then just kind of like subculture kind of stuff. But I don't remember him being a conspiracy theorist at all.
No, that was just very, very interesting. Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating because this again goes into like, you know, this whole, so yeah, LSD, it's the LSD is also kind of like paralleled in this story too, because that's really, it's like, yeah, the dietryptamine and all that was obviously a huge part, you know, was the narrative thrust of this, but again, they kind of slightly changed it. It's LSD. So basically LSD was created in a lab and was readily available in the post-World War II, maybe around that era. It wasn't later than that. And so then this researcher that created all this LSD didn't know what to do with it and had it and was sending it out to universities willy-nilly. The CIA got a bunch of it. It was legal. You could send it anywhere. Yeah. And so you have these experiments that are coming out of Stanford and Harvard and Yale. If you remember the movie Ghostbusters, where they're doing the
science
bit with the car, and he's trying, you know, what's the effect of this shot? I'll tell you, it's pissing me off. Into men who stare at goats. There's
That's true.
Yeah. Whole like countercultural ESP. That's all of these things overlap with each other. They didn't know psychic spies. Third Eye Spies is another doc to watch about basically astral travel and all that. They're all related. They're all related to each other. But getting back to like, so this was MK Ultra. So underneath MK Ultra was a project called Monarch. And Monarch was a, you know, so MK Ultra was like famously the, probably the most famous example of MK Ultra was Sirhan Sirhan, who assassinated Robert Kennedy. So he was a, you know, was enrolled in the program and basically had an alternate identity, which they also talk about in this Banshee. And when a word of suggestion, the Manchurian Candidate's like the big movie that covered that.
Oh yeah. You know? Yeah. So, the Sinatra one, and then more recently the Denzel remake.
Okay. I didn't see the Denzel remake, but yeah. So that covers a lot of what's going on here. Again, it's a primer for that. It's like Manchurian Candidate, and what they were doing in MK Ultra was basically a character inside of a person. So when you have a suggestive word or a ring or a bell or some kind of thing, that person with the kill, that, you know, like in, I think they messed around with that in Austin Powers. It's like Austin must stop.
They ring the bell. And as Ted reminded me, we were talking about a movie called Assassin or something that was, but anyways, it was about this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, this is the first time I've seen that. And he said, no, they did this before in Naked Gun. They just stole the plot of Naked Gun. I guess you're right.
Was it O.J. Simpson too?
O.J. Simpson, yeah.
Right, which is like, art imitating life in a way. But so Sirhan has no memory at all of killing JFK or RFK, none at all. Literally zero. And in fact, there's like all another fascinating conspiracy is that it was perhaps the police officer that was on duty or off duty or wherever he was that like had the bullets fired. And then you just play Sirhan, put the gun in his hand. He has no memory of it. So either he was a subconscious assassin or just a dope that was put there in a situation you could wipe his memory. And he has, like, you blacked out. How do you know what you've done?
Yeah.
So that's MK Ultra. And then out of MK Ultra was like a subset of that was Project Monarch. That one's really, really screwed up too. And I had a buddy so Kathy O'Brien is one of the persons that survived Project Monarch. And this one is kind of branches out from QAnon. Mm-hmm. That's what it is today. But basically, it's basically a human trafficking operation where instead of assassinating people, you would turn them into sex slaves when you suggested a word.
Oh, weird.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like it's a slightly different one where you're not assassinating anybody, but you are a sex slave. So Kathy O'Brien, under hypnosis, was able to recall like memories of, sexual abuse. It's multi-generation, her daughter, her mother, and basically it's an international pedophile drug ring. Drug baron Satanists, they use these, mind control traumas to create a sex slave out of it. And she's got a whole, what is her book that she wrote? She had a book. It's called Transformation of America. So if you're into that kind of stuff, I have a friend that personally knew her and talked to her, but it was like, you name it, from the 70s and 80s, she was like there. Yeah, she was handled and was like pleased presidents and ambassadors and famous movie stars and all kinds of stuff. But
oh, yeah, that feels very like tied into like the Epstein story.
100%.
Like that kind of sex trafficking stuff. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. Wow.
Which tied into QAnon, which they're like pinball pizza and all that, which is like pedophiles that are at the highest level. What was the guy from England that was like?
Oh, Prince Andrew?
But then there was a guy that was like a Captain Kangaroo of English high society that he would like do all these famous events, and I'll remember his name in a minute, but he was tied to that. And like, he'd molested over like 500 kids.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really
super creepy. Yeah. Well, that kind of reminds me of like that Jimmy Savile guy who was the child who was like, kind of like had that kids show in England. And he was tied to all those like crimes, like
top of the charts.
Yeah.
With Jimmy Savile, 100%. Well, that's the thing, is like he's getting knighted. He was knighted. You're in those circles where it's like, so you can understand. And I think that's where a lot of these conspiracies come out of, is it's like there's a fraction of truth. When the truth,
that's right. Yeah, the conspiracies are spun off of like at least a little bit of truth. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's absolutely a truth that he was personal friends with Queen Elizabeth.
Yeah,
Prince King Charles. Now, he was a knighted, that means you are in with the ruling monarchy. So that's not a conspiracy. The conspiracy is whether or not they do the same things.
Right.
Yeah. That's conspiracy stuff. This Kathy O'Brien and stuff is just super wild. So we can change gears here a little bit too, and getting, and I think that the Thomas Blackburn, I think, is the character of the main, the Ted Levine character here.
Yeah.
Also has a bit of David Icke in it too. You know, if you're familiar with David Icke, who just basically claims that, you know, there's a reptilian energy. It's basically it's a spectrum. Either we've been taken over by reptilians and reptilians secretly rule the world, or from the constellation of Draco. David's kind of toned that back and saying that it's a demonic reptilian energy. So he's got a wild theory that every monarch, as soon as a monarch has a child, when they christen them, the reptilian entity takes over their body.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah,
that's great. That's a movie right there. It's basically like V. It's like totally like the series V. Yeah, but that's like straight up like alien invasion in human skin. But I guess it's very similar to the same thing here, because aliens in this movie are using, because when they make contact with the aliens, with the other creatures, when their mind is opened up with the drug, the creatures tell them, "I want to wear you." So, like, they want to wear people as human skin, and then they're body snatchers, essentially. Yeah,
yeah. And I mean, if you're, according to David Icke, V, the final battle, or V, the miniseries, is just a very accurate documentary.
Yeah, yeah. I love the original series V. It's awesome. I think they have the whole thing on Tubi. I need to binge that again, because that's a great series. Yes. Also makes me remember, like, damn, what happened to Mark Singer? He sort of disappeared.
I mean, after Beastmaster and V, maybe you just dropped.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Pinnacle of a career.
Yeah.
Anyway, very fascinating. Like, I feel like they really, both the movies we watched were like, really, they knew what they were talking about. I bring up the Stanford acid experiments and all of that, just because that was the framing device. Was like,
for sure, yeah.
You periodically peek in this lab, and there'd be the poor bastard tied to the chair, tea and all that, which is fascinating. Because so another conspiracy that kind of comes out of that, or research, is the pineal gland, which is where they're, you know, the DMT they didn't create. So you said earlier that they had like manufactured this drug. No. You can literally get DMT out of the pineal gland of a dead person.
Yeah, they did. So they used, like, the scientists, they used the formula that when they're by that like radio tower, and they get the broadcast, when they're in that area in the desert, they have to be there between like 3 to 5 a.m. and they have to be at the right coordinates. And so that was near where the experiments were done. But they get the components to make the drug, but the drug is enhanced because they do, when the scientists were doing the experiments, they did extract raw elements from the brain directly to enhance the drug. So they put that in, because there's even like a creature, like a little test subject, when they go to the place, that was that creature that was used, it was the person that they extracted the raw DMT from.
Yeah. And then this led into this whole pineal harvesting, you know, is a whole other like rabbit hole to go down. Yeah. So Jordan Maxwell, who passed recently, had a whole chapter on the pineal gland.
Yeah.
So the pineal gland throughout history was represented by the pineapple.
That makes sense, because the shape. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Pine cone.
Yeah.
Pineapple, pineal, all of that stuff. There's, you know, in a ton of art, a ton of, like, in the Last Supper, there's like a pine cone in there.
Yeah.
Michelangelo, God and God and Adam, where, you know, it's like God stretching his finger out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The pineal gland is there. There's a giant pine cone in the Vatican. Surrounded. So, like, why? It's like a 6-foot pine cone surrounded by two peacocks, which represent immortality and the soul. It's like, what's all that about?
Right.
So that's another thing to go down. And it's like, it's funny when the filmmakers like add this other, like, and then the government altered it. No. It's like a massive psychedelic, like, you will never trip harder than if you like taste the pineal gland of it in someone else.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Massive. Yeah. You trip hard. So for those interested, Jordan Maxwell does a bunch of stuff. Late great Jordan Maxwell. This is a big chapter. They definitely are brushing over it but they're hitting some of the greats in Banshee for sure.
Yeah. I just thought it was really creative to have the MK Ultra thing tie into a Lovecraft kind of inspiration. Like we're seeing, so this is it's meant to like be involved for interrogation or like torture on people to get information out of them or to turn people into hidden assassins. But we can also expand that theory and then go into the supernatural realm where it will also allow us to be in contact with another dimension. I think that was a really cool way to merge those two. And then to start it out, like with all like the actual film clips with Clinton and everything, I thought it was great. Cause that really like that sort of grounds you. And then you're like, okay, now I'm ready to go down this rabbit hole and see where it takes me. But it's super creepy because there's a real unknown about, to me at least, especially when you're on an altered substance, about like an or if like you're just like by yourself and it's in like, am I going to see a creature? You know, you hear about this in like sleep paralysis. Yeah. When people can't move and they see something. And now is that just like your mind playing games with you, or are you seeing something from another dimension? But that stuff is like very primal and very terrifying. I think works great for horror movies and like themes or sort of like material for horror movies. I would not want to watch either of these movies when I was on acid, because I think I would have like a bad trip. I would start getting scared. Oh shit.
Well, especially Banshee.
Yeah, that one especially for sure. Yeah,
like you're having jumps, you're having all stuff. Yeah, and on that note too, another thing, you know, that some of these researchers have found is that your DNA is literally an antenna for for communicating with other dimensions. So imagine that when you're in this altered state, you know, it's like when people take DMT, they're called the mechanical elves.
Yeah, that's right. I've heard that's how they're referred to. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So like just watch Joe Rogan's podcast. He talks about seeing, you know, it's kind of like when you rub your eyes and you can see all of that, but it's like a thousand stronger. And then there's a sentient entity and like of intelligence behind all of this. Be, you know, I don't know what they're saying or whatever, but it's something there.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But again, like the other, you know, again, like the conspiracy, I felt it kind of wound down to, you know, it's like a predicted and expected, oh, let's just, for old, the old, let's all burn it down ending.
Right, yeah. Yeah. You know? Yeah, I did think it had some kind of more, like, I did feel like it had a little bit more creativity as what it did story-wise. And kind of some of the stuff that they tapped into. But I think that both of them are... Yeah, I think both of them are great, like primers, or just like, because I've watched a bunch of other movies that are conspiracy themed, and they haven't been effective as either of these two. I'm sure there's definitely some more effective or better ones out there. Those probably exist more in like documentary form, but for like the found footage horror genre overall, these are two really good ones to check out.
Yeah,
and
considering their budget and all that, I would be very curious. Again, it goes back to a greater conspiracy where Hollywood is tied into all of this. So you probably market $35 million movie with networks. If you look at like, just so like another one would be Jordan Maxwell and Hidden Symbolism. So if you look at the, like, so Paramount has like 56 stars or something, which are indicative of all of the fallen angels, and the mountain where it is was the mountain where the 10, there, every one of these, Paramount, Universal, all of this stuff are heavily have secret messaging in them. There is no way this stuff's by accident. And so if you want a trip, just look up Jordan Maxwell's Hidden Symbolisms or Michael Cesarian Hidden Symbolisms. You will go down a rabbit hole, and it's amazing. Like, just for instance, like Pepsi, you know, the they combine the different symbols, but Pep is Egyptian for penis or devil, or Pepsi. They're just the yin and the yang symbol inside the Coke. For instance, a good one is 76 gasoline. Mm-hmm. So It's Sumerian. So Sumerian is a six count. It's 1 to 6, 360 days in the year. So 76 is actually 666. If on a six count, that extra seven actually is a six. Yeah. And the next one is a six, and the next one is a six. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, so 76 is like our version of 11. You could say it's 5 and 6. In this case, that 7 is actually just 2 sixes, one in the hundreds place, one in the tens place, and one in the ones place. That's just one example of like numerology, secret society. That's a whole other chapter. We didn't even do any of that. But
yeah.
So I doubt we'll ever, I guess, the button that, I guess we'll never see a big Hollywood movie like this, because these corporations are obviously plugged in. If you believe all this, then you believe that too, that all these are companies are Masonic and they're plugged into the New World Order.
Yeah. Scary stuff. Well, I knew we were going to get some awesome stuff, some great like trivia and great just some great information having you on. So this has been really fun. Do you have anything else to say about either of these two movies?
No, this is a blast. Like I said, there's so many rabbit holes to go down. You know, Sirhan, Project Monarch, Kathy O'Brien, David Icke, Michael Cesari, and Jordan Maxwell. If you're interested in any of these, I promise you, you will waste at least 6 hours and just
just getting them started. Yeah.
Freedom to Fascism is like probably like the easiest one to get into, because it's less of like trans, you know, dimensional entities and things like that's like a good start to where it's like, look, there's nothing federal about the Federal Reserve. So that is not a conspiracy. There is a board that is unrecognized, unknown who the board that controls that are, but they control the very levers of our economy. So if you were looking at quotes of the founding fathers, like, you know, I care not who writes the laws, who controls the money is what it's all about. So that's not a conspiracy.
Yeah.
So some of it's conspiratorial, but it's like, you can see how people get down these.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it's because they all start with, but Freedom to Fascism is probably a good one. And Brad, thank you. This was awesome. Look forward to having me back at some point.
So, yeah. So we have to have you come back for They Live, which is a fantastic also conspiracy theory movie and horror movie and John Carpenter classic. And it has only built cult status as more of the years have gone by. So, definitely look forward to doing a deep dive on that one.
Absolutely. And it has like the world's greatest, longest fight scene, which I think make it greatest fight scenes of all time. Get the Quiet Man on there, and maybe They Live as a punch by punch retrospective.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So looking forward to that one. Well, thanks again for coming on, Aaron. And for indie filmmakers out there, if you're running out of ideas, or if you're just thinking of something that could be like new and different, or if you just want to, like, there's so much limitless material with conspiracy theories out there, limitless material for your movies. And these two movies, the Conspiracy and Banshee chapter, the greatest thing about these for indie filmmakers is that because they are so very budget constrained, it gives you a great example of how to like incorporate big ideas into a small budget. And then just sort of like pique your curiosity when you watch it, which I think is effective. Any kind of entertainment that has like a sort of like cliffhanger ending or leaves you wanting more is effective. And I think that's what these two movies did really well and what you can use for inspiration for your own movies.
Yeah. And, you know, and I don't think that they've nailed this yet. I really feel like real classic that could be made in this, easier said than done, but like, you know, on a side note, like how many great werewolf movies are now out recently. Yes.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah.
It's been there. It's definitely there. So it's like, I think that Banshee and the Conspiracy, or Banshee chapter and the Conspiracy, are like, look, competently made, but like, I think there's a classic version of this waiting to be made.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So absolutely.
Let's see it.
Yeah. Let's definitely see it. So anybody listen, make that movie and let us know about it, and we'll be looking forward to seeing it and talking about it. Okay. Because they're like basically like it's the Wild West when it comes to this kind of stuff in movies. Okay. Well, everybody, thank you for listening. This is Brad signing off on the Dead Harvey podcast. And thank you, Aaron Burke. And until next time, stick to the roads, stay clear of the moors.